Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is James Allen. I had the privilege of spending some time with James at a couple of events during Super Bowl week, and he couldn't have been nicer and more fun to be around. He's on the board of directors for the Pro Football Hall of Fame Foundation. He is also the founder and CEO of World's Greatest Videos. Go online to WGVS.com to check out the great video content and contests that they have going on there. And we are thrilled that he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Good evening, James, Chris, and Bob here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, James.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Chris. Thank you so much. Chris, I had a great time with you, and your son is a gentleman's gentleman, and we had a lot of fun at Super Bowl, so I really appreciate you and Bob having me on the air.
Ah, we appreciate you, James. So, James, when we first met, and one of my first questions to you, and I'm guessing for our listeners would want to know the same, how did you get on the board of directors at the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
You know, I'm not trying to be obtuse. I still don't know how. My dad asked me when I went up to my first meeting in Canton, what was it like? And I told him, and I promise you, I'm not making this up. I said, Dad, I'm the only person in the room I've never heard of. I mean, it's crazy, but I've heard stories. That's exactly. I mean, you see Jerry Jones, and you know, and of course Ambassador Rooney, who's no longer with us, and Mr. Rooney, and you see all these people, and you're just going, "What am I doing here?" And it's very intimidating. But they don't. They treat you like it's amazing. But I still don't understand. I don't know. I think it's just Chris, and Bob just. You know, doing a lot of things. I think I did a lot of things for the military and did a lot of things behind the scenes for my foundation and wishes and prayers and everything else. And just, I got their attention. I got a phone call, said, hey, you made the list of the finalists. And I went, okay. And then I was final 40. And then they told me the top 10 people, and I won't mention some of the names, but they're like, oh my gosh, I have no chance in heck. And, you know, so it's crazy. And I'm very honored to be a part, you know, the Hall of Fame. You know, they're, David Baker, as you know, is not only larger than life because he is the largest president CEO in the United States I've ever met, but they do, you know, they're really good about the honoring the heroes of the game, preserving its history, they promote its values, and they celebrate excellence everywhere. And I've been in several boards and everything else, and I couldn't be more proud to be a part of that board for what they do for people beyond the game.
And James, speaking of heroes of the game, talk about Willie Lanier, Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame linebacker. I read that he changed your life. How?
How did you find, you know, Willie, and if Willie's out there, Willie will hopefully get a smirk. So my first year on the Hall of Fame was the 2011 Super Bowl in Dallas, and we have a Hall of Fame. At that time, it was a very small function. And I get to sit with Willie Lanier. And I know that Willie and the older people, the people on the board, who's from Texas, told me, he said, you know, we kind of put you with Willie because Willie just doesn't talk much, and he doesn't. And we're there with some very wealthy people and on the board, and I'm having conversation and trying to be entertaining and hosting some of these great sponsors. And long story short, my wife is there, Tina, and her dad was a big-time football player. I played football. Her dad was could have played as far as he wanted to and decided to make grades and decided to do that in college instead. And so football is sports opponents most of our lives. My dad was a great athlete. And so my wife was really into this, but she was worried about stuff. And I kept on telling her about concussions. And this is in 2011. So Willie Lanier, long story short, doesn't say much. So every Hall of Famer at this special function, now it's gotten really big. At Super Bowl, it's 1,000 people. Back then, it was 300 people. And every Hall of Famer at every table would get up and say something of the 30 tape. And then you could ask any of them questions and everything else. And Willie Lanier stands up and talks about a very cerebral thing about safety. And, you know, his thing was you can replace a knee, you can replace an arm, you can replace everything. You can't replace a brain. And he was fighting about natural, you know, he fought for the AstroTurf and the things on the AstroTurf, the little black balls. And he's always been fighting for stuff for the players. My wife, you talk about two people that are hard to interrupt, goes to the thing at the end of the function. Willie Lanier and Mean Joe Green are talking. And my wife's walks up, and my wife's pretty shy and says, "Hey, can I talk to you about my son and stuff?" She goes, "Let me finish with Joe." And all the Hall of Fame board members are laughing at me. The place is cleaned up. They're vacuuming the place, and Willie's still talking to my wife about, you know, if you're going to play sports and what to look for and, you know, starting late in life and everything else. And my son, who is, and you've met me, how big I am, he's bigger than me. He's a freshman in high school. He's a lot stronger.
Wow.
He's played his first down of football this year, and because of Willie Lanier. And Willie and my wife was very much into the football and competitive stuff and everything else. And I was too, but she was really, you know, her dad was a legend. I mean, he's in her brother's in our high school Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's just a sports family. And it really let my wife pause and go, you know, like kind of what Tony was talking about, there's stuff beyond sports. And Willie just changed it. And I to this day, when I see Willie, I don't care if he's online to go out and get announced or anything else. I go and give him a big hug. And he knows it's coming because I love that man. And because he took time out, not anti-NFL. He's very pro-NFL, pro-sports, pro-everything else. He's just trying to be more responsible for after the game. I could go on and on about Willie Lanier for our family and some other things. He followed up with phone calls afterwards. I mean, who does that, right? He's a Hall of Famer. There's just a little over 300 of those guys. And anyway, I'm a big Willie. I love Willie. I love all those guys. But Willie, really, that is my rookie year in the Hall of Fame. You know, they put me with a guy who was really quiet, and I could have been with a better person to affect my family's life and my kids and talking about life after the game.
And James, as you and I were talking, we end every show here with our Spotlight on the Positive segment, where we tell two stories every week about current or former players who are out there doing great things in their communities. And you were telling me about Curtis Martin and the work he does with his foundation. Do you mind talking about the great work that Curtis is doing?
Yeah, Curtis is, you know, and he's quiet. If you've ever met him, a very humble guy. He's on the foundation board with me. He not only does stuff through his foundation with helping kids and helping inner city youth and everything else. And if you've ever seen his Hall of Fame, Chris and Bob, have you seen his Hall of Fame speech? Have you heard it?
Yes.
Yeah, we've read it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, where he came from, and he never forget where he's come from, but he doesn't use it as an excuse. And he does so much stuff for so many people, but I could go on. Curtis does stuff that he doesn't put his name on, and I can't discuss, but the foundation board, we help former players and Hall of Famers, you know, especially back in the day before collective bargaining and retirement stuff. And although Roger Goodell has done a phenomenal job, which people do not know about that, and retirement funds and funds our foundation and does all kind of stuff behind the scenes, Curtis Martin, every time a player comes up that has something that's personal beyond the foundation or what we can do right now and everything else, Curtis Martin is always first to go, "Oh, I'll take care of him. Doesn't even know the guy or anything else. And that just, I'll just give you one example of Curtis Martin helping, being the first on, and he's already given out all his stuff to all his causes. But when he hears somebody else, especially one of us, you know, Hall of Famers, as Deacon Jones says, you can never be cut. You can never be traded. You're on this team for life. And Curtis Martin is what I would consider a modern athlete, takes that to heart and reaches out to these guys he's never heard of, doesn't even know, and they don't even know that he's doing it. And he's the most positive, humble guy, and will look you in your eye and listen to every word you say. If you met your son, Chris, at their Hall of Fame, he would listen to every word, and he would know that he runs the 400 meter, like I remember, and he would know that. And he's just, he gives all the time, and he doesn't put his name on.
And James, I want you to talk about Roger Staubach, not for what he did on the field, but what he accomplished off the field and from a business standpoint. Talk about the things that he's been able to accomplish.
You know, Roger is really, it was really great that I came on in 2011 with the Super Bowl being in Dallas, because Roger was the ambassador. And a lot of the old players and the new players, he is, in my opinion, the bridges, the old players and new players. The new players, and Tony Collins was talking about this a little bit, about, you know, the new, they got new business ventures and everything else, and they do. They've got all this stuff. But no one's made more money in business and in professional football than Roger Staubach. And he did it, and but what people don't know is when he sold out, and I'm not going to discuss his personal business, how much he gave away to all his employees, everything else. He is but he's just a class act. I can tell you stories about when he's doing business and people would see him in the hallway that didn't even do business with him and ask him to do this or can you sign this or do that. And he built relationships because of the way he was on the field, and he was a class act. As you know, he served in the military before going to the NFL. And there were ways he could find in the reserves or everything else. And he said, no, I'm going to go serve my country. And who does that? It's a high, I mean, you know, here he is, the number one guy. He worked I've heard the story for, I mean, but I can't remember the name of the big real estate firm out of Dallas. But he worked for them on the off seasons to make a living. And but he took the class that he took out from the academy, and as a leader and a quarterback, and what Tom Landry, his adopted father, taught him about being humble and being quiet. And he took that in his business. And anybody that did business with Staubach and companies knows that's how every – I have some friends of mine. In fact, one of my friends who played football up at A&M, who worked for Roger Staubach's son, had a weird thing and died of a heart attack. Roger hears about it, and he was traveling and calls him on the phone for an hour or 2 hours. And this is some employee that's, you know, seven levels just removed. I mean, who – you know – I that's the way Roger is. If you meet him, he is just very genuine. I'll tell you one last thing, and I'm sorry, Bob and Chris, to ramble about this, but we were at this Hall of Fame event. I told you about this luncheon in New Orleans, and Roger stands up and says, listen, we need to talk about Jackie Slater. He said, everyone talks about that pass and the end zone that he dropped and everything else. And he goes into a long play about how Coach Landry, the play was the wrong play. It wasn't even supposed to go to him. There was confusion on the play. And Roger just threw it and hoped that something would happen. And Jackie turned around and it happened to be at his knees. And it's a shame. It's kind of like what happened to Buckner in baseball. And he went up and defended Jackie for 30 minutes about how the play was and how he was a phenomenal athlete in that one play. But people don't realize it's the coach had the it was on the goal line. There was the wrong thing. There was some miscommunication. They didn't have all the headsets back then. And Roger had this, and everything was confusion. It was a busted play. And I just think that's a class act. I mean, you know, to get up there and say, hey, let's talk about this guy. You know, I'm tired of, you know, let's talk about him. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. It was Coach Landry. And I don't know. I mean, there's not many guys that will do that.
Bob, questions for James?
James, I echo your sentiment on Curtis Martin. I remember that when he retired, I wrote a column on him in form of a thank you letter just because of a classy athlete he was, and had no idea what he would do after his retirement. But I'll make sure you get that. I'll forward that to you. But thanks for bringing that up. But I want to ask you about your early memories of following football. How did you get into it? Some of your favorite teams when you were younger. What was the impetus for your interest in football to begin with?
Well, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, and you know, I grew up. My dad and I, you know, we were a two-income family. You know, for a lot of times we didn't have air conditioning. We had burger bars, and I was always busy. I was in athletics and I was always doing something after school for hours on end and shuttling around. But my dad and I's time together was watching football on TV or listening to on the radio. And of course, we listened to the Cowboys. They were big, and we were big fans of, I know Dan Pastorini is going to be on, and Earl Campbell, and I actually became friends later. In fact, when he went to the Saints his last year. And, you know, we grew up watching Love You Blue and Cowboys, but I grew up doing that. And then the Packers were kind of a mystique when I was a really young kid. I mean, all we heard about was you know, Coach Lombardi and, you know, all those guys. And for me to spend, in fact, I don't want to get teary-eyed, but one of my last memories with Jim Taylor was in the airport, him and his wife, and he's been to several of my functions. And, you know, he's talking to me about stuff and life in general, and I was asking all those questions. And, of course, then he dies a couple months later. And, you know, that generation of guys, my dad always talked about Coach Lombardi and those men. And but my dad is a very quiet man, and he always said, son, from the neck down, you're minimum wage. But but what those guys do is they learn how to be class acts, discipline, and work with each other. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. I mean, Deacon Jones and Merlin Olsen, I mean, best friends, and it doesn't matter your religion. Doesn't matter anything else. When you're in that huddle, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your personal beliefs are. When you are sitting there holding hands with somebody and you have a deal like the Patriots have formed, you know, their organization or the Spurs back when Pop, you know, all that stuff. Or when you form an organization, it's about team first. My dad always preached that. And he used the Packers, and he gave me books about the Packers, and I'd read about them. And I grew up watching the Cowboys, and then, of course, watching Earl Campbell and the Steelers, and I'm still a big fan of I'm a big fan of a lot of teams, but I like some of the old teams. I love the Steelers. I love if you went to my office, you'll see I'm a big Brett Favre fan. I have a lot. Of course, the Hall of Fame has all these helmets they've sent me, but I love the stuff behind the scenes, like you said, with Curtis Martin. He's just and most all the Hall of Famers, I can tell you guys, I think the reason they're in the Hall of Fame is because of their attitude that kept them, that made them great on the field, but it helped them become great while they were off the field. And I can tell you, I could go on and on about the Hall of Famers and how classy of a men these guys are.
And James, I was just looking at a picture on your Twitter page of you posing with Joe Namath, and you've obviously met so many Hall of Famers, and I have to admit, Namath was one of my idols growing up. One of the two idols that I had as a kid was Namath, watching him at Shea Stadium with the white shoes and just wishing that he had a good pair of knees. But when you met the guy, I'm getting goosebumps just looking at the picture. It must have been an incredible treat for you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, when I grew up as a kid, I mean, he was at, I remember as a kid, the commercial where he showed off his legs and wearing pants. I mean, he was Broadway Joe. I mean, he was bigger than life. I mean, he really was. I mean, and for me to meet him, and, you know, I don't really get starstruck around him, but, you know, he's just Joe Namath. I mean, you know, and so I wasn't as nervous to meeting Staubach, you know, or Earl Campbell than I was with Namath, because it's just Joe Namath. He was in New York. He's big. He's like Sinatra. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. He made it in New York and made a prediction like Babe Ruth did. I mean, he did everything legendary. But you know what's interesting? When I met him, it wasn't just a picture. We talked, and, you know, the Hall of Fame team. Have y'all been to Canton lately and seen the Game for Life video that he narrates? Or have y'all, the 3D thing?
No.
Okay, well, they haven't.
No.
And Chris, I've never met your kids, but your son, Chris, if you want to go, let me know, and I'll get a VIP tour, everything else. The Game for Life, and we have some more stuff, some interesting stuff coming up. It's a 3D thing where Joe comes out. It's a 3D thing, and we have all these athletes that overcame, you know, Steve Largent, you know, who shouldn't have even played in the NFL, and all these stories. And Joe, he's just, you know, he knows who he is. He knows what he's done, and he's there. And he's very, I mean, he's just very honest about stuff. And so I was talking to him, and while all these people are trying to get his attention, he's looking you in the eye. He's talking to you. So later on, my kids heard about him, you know, and they wanted to meet Joe Namath. You know, my daughter's boyfriend, you know, Joe Namath, we heard about him. He was the man. And he sat there and talked to him and entertained him, and he's just the funniest guy. And, I mean, it's just, you know, you see this guy that, you know, called the shot like Babe Ruth, made it in New York, was the number one thing for all commercials. He was Mr. Everything, and yet he's a regular guy. I love meeting him. And it was Bob and Chris. I'm not from up New York, but it's very, you know, it's very kind of like, oh, my gosh, I'm talking to Joe Namath.
Yeah. Yes.
James, one more before we let you go. And you are now the founder and CEO of World's Greatest Videos. Talk about what you're doing there.
Well, you know, I don't mean to put shine the light back on you guys, but, you know, Chris, I didn't really get to know much about you. We were at Super Bowl. We went to a couple parties, and we got to get to know each other. I think it's kind of funny, at the Lee Steinberg thing, we end up being smashed together, and your son got to meet, you know, some Hall of Famers and some other people, and that was great. But, you know, I didn't realize what a positive thing that you and there's so much in media about negativity, right? And negativity sells short term, but positivity's hard. It's just hard. I mean, like a great actor once, I met some great actors one time, they said, the comedic actors, it's just hard. Acting's one thing, but to make them laugh, to be positive is hard. And I want to tell you, you guys doing that, I normally shy away from media and doing everything else. And as you know, Chris, what's his name from Storage Wars, John, made me get on Twitter and made me do all this crazy stuff. But I want to tell you, what we do is World's Greatest Videos. It's a long story how it happened, but here's the bottom line. WGVS.com, we just launched in January worldwide. We're still in our beta. We got translating all the languages and the top 20 languages for the world, where people can put videos on there. They can win money. They can follow and everything else. But in the next week or two on our mobile apps, sorry, on our web, if your kid puts a video on there or you put a video on there, all you can leave is a comment that is, we have 15 that focus groups picked. You can leave a positive comment. You can scroll real fast, or you can push that real button, or you can press a positive reaction that we had custom made. And if y'all go to the website, you'll see what I'm talking about, because even recently, I mean, I'm not trying to pick on Google and YouTube because, you know, hopefully they'll buy us out, you know, down the way. But, you know, it's so, I mean, they're having a hard time to Google's defense. With YouTube, it's kind of under fire because of all these people saying bad stuff about kids and everything else. But it would cost them like $30 billion to scrub all the videos on there. What we did about a year and a half ago, before all the YouTube, before all the cyberbullying became popular, before the stuff's come out with all the suicide rates in the last 90 days, we decided to create a site that worldwide, if you didn't have anything nice to say about the guy from India or China or Afghanistan or wherever else, you don't say it at all. And by the way, all those comments will be translated in the top 20 languages in the next couple weeks, but and all the custom reactions. So people can not only win money, but they can go to a place where their kid or grandkid say, hey, vote for our video. And even if they don't win, they're going to get notified that somebody left a positive comment or positive reaction. I mean, how great is that? Because I don't know about you, but my kids put some stuff on YouTube and everybody left, you know, my one daughter was with a picture with a bunny, and I'm not going to say on the air what they would say, but, you know, does she, you know, too bad the bunny's in the picture.
Yeah.
And you see so much of that. Mm. So every time I see a YouTube video I like, I look down and all the comments are all trash. So I want a place worldwide where people can go and do stuff. So that's World's Greatest Videos, WGVS.com. And I appreciate Chris and Bob, the positivity you guys are doing in sports. And anytime you want to talk about the Hall of Fame and positivity, even if we don't want to talk about WGVS, I'm a big fan of that, and I would love to do that.
Great. Wow. James, you've been so wonderful to me and my son, and we can't thank you enough for being generous with your time tonight. You're a great guy. I thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you over the last month or so. And can't thank you enough for all the great things that that you are doing, both with WGBS, but just in general with the foundation and with the players. You're an outstanding individual. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys so much for your positivity and your show. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for coming on, Jim.
Take care,
yes,
James.
Sir.
Look forward to catching up with
all
you
right,
again
bye-bye.
Real soon. All the best to you and your family. That is James Allen, and go check him out. WGVS, great site. They're doing great things, and looking forward to all the positive things that are going to come out of that. Bob, he is just an unbelievable individual, and certainly looking forward to having him back on the show again soon.
I'm glad you got to meet him, Chris. A lot of energy, and we'll talk more about the Hall of Fame next time, but he's involved in a lot of stuff. Very positive guy. Great guest.